Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Naya Reyes, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, a closer look at the lives of the unsung heroes of Northwestern storm life, residential advisors, a deep dive into the lost art of a chick flick, and we're looking into why nobody wants to talk in your discussion section. These stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. From manning at their area desk to running resident game nights, residential assistants, or RAs, are the unsung hero of Northwestern dorm life. But what exactly does it entail to be one? Gabby Shell has the scoop.
You love them. You awkwardly pass by them in the halls. It's your RA. But how much do you really know about what it takes to be an RA? The official duties of an RA are wide-reaching. From covering the area desk to ensuring community development. Brené Hall, a third year in the School of Communications and second year Foster Walker Complex RA, walked me through the general RA responsibilities.
The duties of an RA are various. You ran into me at the front desk, which is one of our duties. We do that weekly. So there's daily interactions like that, super casual, all the way to like more formal things like planning events quite a few times a quarter. It turns out to be about like once a week, overnight shifts as well. So we do a lot, and then bulletin boards, decorating. So they have us doing a lot of miscellaneous, anything that falls under the umbrella of residential life tasks.
With all of those tasks to manage, being an RA is no walk in the park. If you add all the hours up,
10 to 12 at max.
The time commitment amounts to around taking an entire extra class. That was Dayo Babatunde, a senior in McCormick. This is his second quarter as an RA. This year, he is stationed in Elder Hall. Given the time commitment, it can be hard for RAs to balance their duties with the at times intense academic, extracurricular, and social expectations at Northwestern.
It can be a little difficult, I'm not gonna lie. It's hard to, like, take space from the RA role. It's difficult, like, when you have, like, a quarter that's a little bit, like, heavier in terms of classes or heavier in terms of commitment. It's a little bit more difficult to balance the role. I feel like in some ways it can be flexible, but in other ways not so much. So there obviously is a threshold of things that have to get done, and it can be more of a time commitment and more of a stressor than you might expect.
At the end of the day, you just have to find the balance.
However, for Babatunde, the potential stresses of the job are outweighed by the tangible good he provides for his community, particularly freshmen who are struggling to acclimate to their new environment.
I know for me, when I was a freshman, it was very hard for me to make relationships with people. And at least for me, it's just very exciting to be kind of like that proxy for people to like build relationships with
One of the central duties of an RA is to organize community-building activities, both formally and informally. These can take the form of study nights, sport tournaments, coffee chats, and more. The goal of these activities are for the residents to get to know their RA and each other.
Earlier in the year, I did a table tennis tournament, which was pretty successful. A lot of people turned up. Then I also do, because I like playing basketball a lot, I'll just invite residents out.
Coming up with creative new ways to meet residents is a highlight of the job for many, like Joanne Lee, a second-year RA in Shapiro Hall.
This year, my favorite event so far has been playing We're Not Really Strangers with my residents. It's a card game where you ask each other progressively deeper questions, and I thought it was a great way to get to know some of my residents on a deeper level.
Beyond creating a community for their residents, RAs have found community with each other. The Resident Assistant Program organizes several all-staff bonding events.
As a RA staff, we actually had a beach party at the North Beach over there. Mm-hmm. And then also, we're also doing like a trick-or-treating event for Halloween and things like that. So we've been pretty active in just bringing the community together, for sure.
RAs also work with their floor, building, and area teams frequently, creating multiple layers of support and camaraderie.
What's your favorite part about being an RA?
I would say it is the community aspect of it. I got really lucky with my teammates. So all the other RAs on my team are just super supportive and helpful.
You get to meet so many different kinds of people from across campus and hear about their lives and their backgrounds, and everyone has a different perspective on everything, but we're all united by the goal of helping our residents. So it's a really warm and welcoming community.
Thank you for listening. For WNUR News, I'm Gabby Shell.
No one calls a World War II lover basic, but a teenage girl who loves a good chick flick? How typical. Chick flicks are notoriously frowned upon by society, but why? Why are chick flicks underrated, and what is the value they hold in our society? Alyssa Rubin has more.
Superbad, American Pie, and Project X. What genre would you classify them as? Teenage boy films? Guy movies? Although we all acknowledge that these three films have a targeted audience, isn't it strange that they aren't given a clear name? The term chick flick usually garners two possible reactions. Either an I love a good chick flick, or an I don't watch girly movies. If both genders have specifically marketed films, why does society minimize the value of the films advertised to teenage girls? The concept of cultural capital refers to a certain group or individual's social assets and importance in a community. In our society today, teenage girls hold little to no cultural capital. It's pretty difficult to think of even one thing that teenage girls stereotypically enjoy and aren't mocked for. From Harry Styles to Taylor Swift, fashion and makeup, and even the types of pictures that they post on social media, teenage girls are constantly put down for the things that they enjoy. Society equates the activities and people that teenage girls like with frivolity and unimportance. Unfortunately, chick flicks fall into that category. When male critics review movies marketed toward teenage girls in an overly negative way, the critics often drag down the public's general opinion of chick flicks as a whole. Nico Lang writes, quote, "When the mass of male critics rate movies for women lower than women do, it has a powerful overall effect on how these films are received by the public, bringing down the average tomato meter of movies aimed at women by nearly 6%," end quote. A large contrast between society's perception of stereotypically feminine and masculine things often leads people to judge feminine pop culture artists, makeup, fashion, and chick flicks as superficial, mindless, and basic. Legally Blonde's Elle Woods uses her femininity and kindness to her advantage when pursuing her degree at Harvard Law. The Devil Wears Prada's Andy learns the value of hard work while adopting the fashion industry and understanding that success and ruthlessness do not have to be synonymous. Mamma Mia emphasizes the strength of female friendships and fun over decades. The lighthearted nature of these films is refreshing, and the stories praise women for their imperfections and femininity rather than tear them down. To understand the value of these films in our society and on our campus, I talked to some Northwestern women, asking them their favorite chick flicks and why. Hi, can you tell us your name, your favorite chick flick, and why you like it?
Hi, I'm Louise, and I don't know if Bridesmaids counts as a chick flick, but that's my favorite chick flick. I think that they're all such good friends, and it's so sweet.
My name is Sophie Pong, and my favorite chick flick is Legally Blonde, because it's just a good movie.
Hi, my name is Eliza Fisher, and my favorite chick flick is probably Booksmart, because as someone who just graduated high school, it's super apt, and it's a lot of fun.
Hi, my name is Anaya. My favorite is Clueless, because I find something new every time that makes me laugh.
Next time you hear someone groaning over the idea of watching a chick flick, suggest your favorite girly film. They may be surprised to find just how fun and valuable this genre really is. From WNUR News, this is Alyssa Rubin.
have you ever been in a really awkward discussion section where no one wants to participate and the silence drags on and on? Why does this happen and how can we fix the problem? Rose Carlson has the story.
Athenian poet and playwright Euripides once said, "Silence is true wisdom's best reply." Evidently, Euripides did not attend any small classes or discussion sections at Northwestern University. I started as a freshman at Northwestern in the fall. One thing I've noticed since then is the silence. Every once in a while, in a small class or discussion section, the TA or professor will ask a question and no one answers. Sometimes those pauses give me the time and space to figure out something to say or to materialize the thought that has already been circling in my mind. But in other instances, as the silence deepens with each passing second, I begin to hope in anguish that someone else has something to say. I was curious, what are other students' experiences with this auditory space? I asked around.
Please break the silence. Please break the silence before that you start picking up people. Please, 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 please.
That's Weinberg first year Alan Shu sharing his inner thoughts after facing a recent bout of crickets in his seminar on China in the American Imagination.
We had to read a 300-ish pages of reading in the span of 2 days. And everyone else comes in like, did everyone else read? And everyone is like, no, no one finished. And so during the discussion, the professor asked a question regarding the reading. Dead silence. Nothing. No one else made a sound.
Alan told me the silence is quite common in his seminar. Communication junior Jillian Olson said she has actually started timing the length of the silence in her U.S. gay and lesbian history discussion.
I think the longest was about 5 minutes of just empty silence.
5 minutes? You could listen to the song Respect by Aretha Franklin twice and still have 16 seconds of change with a silence that long.
And we all sit in a circle, so there's not really anywhere for us to hide. And we all just stare really intensely at our computer like we're looking for notes, but none of us are looking for notes. And it has never been more clear that not a soul has done the reading.
Jillian said the mountain of work for her other classes deters her from the readings for her history discussion.
An awkward hour is easier for me to endure than, like, missing an assignment for another class.
Breaking the silence has been on my mind recently, in part because of my Spanish class. I do a lot of the staring down at the desk kind of thing in this class because once I've answered maybe 2 questions in the span of 5 minutes, I feel like it's important for me to not take up so much of the airspace. My Spanish professor, Daisy Cuate, said she's also been thinking about these uncomfortable quiet moments, and she noticed something that I've missed as I sit at my desk in Kresge and stare at the ground to endure the deafening quiet.
When I was younger, and a teacher asked something, whether I wanted to answer the question or not, whether I knew the answer or not, if I was not ready for it, I would try to like pretend like I was doing something while I was thinking about the answer. I've noticed that Northwestern students will have that direct eye contact while sitting in silence, and I find that very interesting.
Daisy also said that she thinks Northwestern students in her Spanish classes may be too focused on the answer itself and not what they could learn from trying to articulate a response.
So I don't know that Northwestern students, at least in my Spanish class, I can't speak for like obviously other classes like STEM classes, I don't know that Northwestern students always know the why behind the questioning sometimes. I think that they might be stuck on like the actual right or wrong answer, like what is she looking for type of thing, instead of just being like, this might just be practice.
Answering as a tool for practice instead of a proof of knowledge. I almost dropped my phone when she said that. Practice? Discussions, for me, can sometimes feel like performance. Participation is monitored and often assessed. It's not a place to make mistakes. It's just another less intimidating test. But how would discussions look if they were focused on practice and not performance? Would the silence take more of a backseat? Perhaps what Euripides really meant when he said, "Silence is true wisdom's best reply," is that we need a few seconds before we answer. But to sit in complete silence would be to waste an opportunity to learn. For WNUR News, I'm Rose Carlson.
Please, can I go to the B-List house? Basil Free is back with the hottest celebrity gossip to catch you up on the most important news of the week.
The B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, Grammy nominations, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Wicked premiere, Stranger Things, and the WTA Finals. Nominations for the 2025 Grammy Awards were announced last Friday, with music icon Beyoncé making history yet again. The singer led the pack with 11 nods for her country and Americana-inspired album Cowboy Carter, bringing her to a career total of 99 nominations. Other big names struck gold in the nominations field, with pop girlies Chappell Roan, Sabrina Carpenter, and Charlie XCX all grabbing Album of the Year nods for their chart-topping efforts. The award ceremony is set to take place at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles on February 2nd. In other music news, rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine struck a deal to end his current jail stint, agreeing to spend a month behind bars for violating the terms of his release after a felony conviction. The rapper was originally jailed after pleading guilty for racketeering in 2019, landing him a 2-year sentence. Though originally released months early in 2020, the rapper has continued to find himself in trouble after not following the rules of his probation. In movie news, Wicked director John M. Chu wasn't able to attend the Los Angeles premiere of the film after welcoming his fifth child with wife Kristen Hodge. Though he wasn't able to attend the event in person, he was still able to speak to the crowd through a video, saying, quote, "I've waited for 3 years to have this moment to share a movie with you, but I've waited my whole life to have this moment, to have a fifth child right now." Wicked is set to debut in theaters on November 22nd, with a second part of the two-part adaptation slated for November 2025. In television news, the Netflix phenomenon Stranger Things is set to return for its fifth and final season next year following a 2-year hiatus. The final season is slated to have 8 episodes, the titles of which were announced last Wednesday. Though previously predicted to be released in 2026 following delays because of the 2023 writer's strike, fans thankfully won't have to wait as long as expected to return one more time to Hawkins, Indiana. Lastly, in sports news, the WTA Finals concluded this past Saturday, with America's number 3 ranked Coco Gauff clinching the victory. Her win came after a 3-set thriller final against China's Qin Wen Zhong, who had won the Olympic gold medal this past summer. Gauff previously has won the U.S. Open Championship in 2023, though this marks her first end-of-year championship on the WTA Tour. Played in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Gauff walked away with a $4.8 million check for her win. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Basil Free.
Most of the results are in, and things might be changing. Here's Rachel Spears on the state of the N Union and more.
Political update from campus to Evanston to the world. Today, new ASG legislature, Illinois ballot measures, and Donald Trump. Northwestern's Associated Student Government, ASG, met last Thursday to elect senators to the 9-person election committee. They will be tasked with monitoring the ASG presidential election, which will take place in the winter. At last Thursday's meeting, senators also presented 2 new pieces of legislation. The first was focused on the mislabeling of halal food in the dining halls, as well as cross-contamination with pork products at Mod Pizza. The second was centered on establishing Ryan Day, a day to celebrate the Ryan family's contributions to Northwestern, as well as disabled students on campus. It would take place on April 16th, Shirley Ryan's birthday. In Illinois, voters approved all 3 ballot measures last Tuesday. The first was aimed at protecting election workers by penalizing candidates who attempt to interfere in the election. 89% of Illinois residents voted yes to that question. The second question was about creating a new tax bracket that would increase income taxes for those making over $1 million a year. The third was about in vitro fertilization and access to reproductive health care. It supports the idea that IVF and similar treatments should be covered by insurance. Donald Trump won the presidential election, capturing the popular vote in most swing states, including Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Trump earned 312 electoral college votes, well above the 270 he needed to win, and won the popular vote by more than 3 million votes. This all comes as a shift right from 2020. Last week, Vice President Kamala Harris conceded to Trump, but vowed to keep fighting. There are 18 undecided House races in a variety of states, from California to Arizona to Maine. Republicans only need 4 more seats to capture the 218-seat House majority. This would cement a Republican government, as the GOP has already captured the Senate by flipping seats in Montana and West Virginia. That's all for this week's State of the N Union. For WNUR News, I'm Rachel Spears.
Now, for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow, we are dropping into the 40s with a high of 48 degrees and a low of 41 degrees, but the sun will be out with some passing clouds and a 12% chance of rain. Wednesday, we could see some rain with a chance of 24%, maybe even some rain showers, but it'll be a little bit warmer with a high of 52 degrees and a low of 49 degrees. Now Thursday, it could be a bit chillier with a low of 42 degrees and a high of 55. Skies will be cloudy and winds could reach up to 15 miles per hour. There's also a 24% chance of rain again, and unfortunately, the sun will be setting at 4:29 p.m. Now let's take a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation. On Friday, it was announced that District 65 would keep 7th and 8th grade open at Dr. Bessie Rhodes School of Local Studies. Citing a lack of educators at the school, an unexpected email was sent out mid-October to families that these grades would close in November. But after a series of protests and meetings, students will be able to finish out the school year. However, more than half have already chosen to transfer. Their last day will be this upcoming Friday. Let's turn to some national news. Earlier this evening, a jury found Richard Allen guilty on all 4 counts in the Delphi murder double murder trial. The 52-year-old is charged with the 2017 murder of 14-year-old Liberty German and 13-year-old Abigail Williams near Delphi, Indiana, on a hiking trail. After over 15 hours of deliberating, he was found guilty on 4 counts, 2 counts of murder and 2 counts of murder while committing or attempting to commit kidnapping. Sentencing is scheduled for December 20th, 2024. Last Wednesday, more than 40 monkeys escaped from a research facility in South Carolina. As of Monday night, there are still 13 monkeys on the loose. 30 of the monkeys were caught using bait and thermal imaging. Local police department says to keep doors and windows secured, and if you see a monkey, call 911. Now that's all for WNUR News at 6. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR news stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Georgia Kerrigan, and our reporters are Gabby Schell, Alyssa Rubin, Rose Carlson, Basil Free, and Rachel Spears. I'm Naya Reyes. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, November 13th. Now, back to scheduled programming.